you will, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. And Paul writes here, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints." We're reminded in this chapter that as Christians we need to have on at all times the whole armor of God. And the armor is available, and it is our obligation as Christians to wear it. This armor, however, is nothing if we as Christians do not have the right attitude. As Paul speaks of this attitude in verse 18, he speaks first to the Christians that we need to engage in prayer, and that as Christians we also need to watch with all perseverance. That one word, perseverance, it means to persist or to endure in spite of the things that we're up against. From its Latin roots, the word literally means through severity. So what does this word perseverance mean today in our society? In the age of instant oatmeal and microwave popcorn, be honest, we're not very big on perseverance. We want everything and anything to be delivered to our doorstep on our time of convenience. And more so in this past year that we've seen so many things dropped off at our doorstep. So in the society that we live in today, how can we develop the art of perseverance so that we can endure and, more importantly, be acceptable to God? Now, before we can persevere, we need the severe. As we noted earlier, the word persevere literally means through severity. And this can come from a form of tests and trials and troubles. As Christians, we all know that we have within our lives faced many troubles. And in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, Paul here tells young Timothy, and he says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Now, Paul is speaking from experience. He knew exactly what troubles were. Ever since that fateful day on that road to Damascus, Paul has persevered. But he speaks about those things in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verses 24 through 28, Paul says here, "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and night I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger of rivers, in dangers of robbers, in danger of my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger in the sea, danger among false brethren, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me for my anxiety for all the churches." You know, we look at Paul and what we see and what we can experience in this life also is that not all of our troubles are external. And we always need to keep this in mind. Paul, he goes through a lot of the external troubles he faced, but in the end, he talks about his anxiety, the internal trouble that he had over the well-being of the churches that he was instrumental in establishing. We place tremendous pressure on ourselves through our worries, through our setting of unrealistic goals, by thinking negatively toward our friends, but also by not being thankful and not rejoicing in the Lord. You know, when we persevere through trials, it is a growing process. We learn from these things. Peter said regarding those who suffered the various trials in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, he said, "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." But James kind of mirrored this in James 1 and verse 12. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive a crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." When we endure the tests and trials, it aids in our ability to persevere. Our wisdom increases, and so does our stamina. It is a lot, I guess you could say, like a runner who, or a person who took up running for his health. And if he sticks with it, if he perseveres day after day, or how many times he does it, he'll find that he's able to go farther and faster and not tire as quickly. You know, but as is so many folks today, in a lot, it's kind of like those New Year's resolutions where you promise you're going to do something, you're going to get in shape, and after about 2 days of sore muscles, you decide it's not worth it. You know, you don't gain anything from it. But if you persevere and you keep going, you continue to strengthen yourself. And this is exactly how we, when we face the trials and tribulations, we persevere through those things. It comes to the point that we are able to overcome many other things in life because we've conditioned ourselves. But there's another thing that gives us a reason to persevere, and that is truth. It's not enough to persevere if you have nothing to hold on to. And truth, especially the truth in God's Word, is worth persevering for. In order for our perseverance to have value, we must have the truth in our lives. Without a doubt, with all my heart, I believe that we all persevere in doing the right things. We don't always succeed, but we persevere to do those things. And when everything else is crumbling down around us, the truth actually gives us something to hold on to. Jesus in John chapter 8, Jesus said in verses 31 and 32, that if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That is something to hold on to. That is a truth that will last the test of time, regardless of society and culture. Paul, he was, Acts chapter 14, it was speaking of Paul and Barnabas in verses 21 and 22. And Luke writes here, he says, when they preached the gospel to the city, to that city, and he's talking about Derbe, and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. See, we're not going to get there by skating on thick ice. We're going to get there by walking across thin ice and persevering, even if the ice cracks around us. Persevering, when we do this by doing the right, what is right, we are assured that our perseverance is not empty. We use the verse a lot, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, but it applies so well here. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 13 and verse 16 says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. When we know the truth and when we put that truth in practice, we are aided so much in our perseverance. The world operates on time. You get rid of all the clocks in the world and destroy any reference of time, and you will watch a rapid decline in civilization. We spend so much time looking that clock. The time is a necessary component of perseverance. And we can't say that we've persevered until a sufficient amount of time has passed. When I was in scouts or assistant scout leader in North Charleston, and we were going to Kings Mountain, and Brother Ferris Austin was the scoutmaster. Our son Vince was in the van too. And we had this young man, Don Blackwell's brother, in the van with us. And we didn't even make it to 95 from Charleston when he asked, are we there yet? And we got to Orangeburg and we had a flat tire. So we pulled the van off and we got out and he kind of woke up and said, are we there yet? And for every 10 miles down the road, it was, are we there yet? And I can tell you that that journey from Charleston to Kings Mountain took like 3 days, it seemed. We all know that phrase, are we there yet? But when we asked a question there, without a sufficient amount of time passing, we know that we have not persevered enough. And repetition also helps us to persevere. The more we experience something, the better that we are able to endure it. And we recognize, however, the temporary nature of things that happen in time. And this helps us even more. You know, how many of us from January to April worry about taxes? April passes, we send it in, and the worry's gone. Most of our troubles and trials are of a temporary nature. In 2 Corinthians 4, in verses 17 and 18, Paul makes this very clear. He says, for this light momentary affliction, it is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, for the things that are unseen are transient. They're temporary. The things that are unseen are eternal. What I'm trying to say is, I guess, is when we know that our days on this planet are limited, time can be our friend as we struggle to persevere. In Psalms 90 and verse 10, what we read there is a prayer of Moses that David included in the Psalms. And it reads, for all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Time is a friend in developing the art of perseverance. Now, in order to persevere, we need to trust in God. Trusting in Him will get us through the difficulties like nothing else, and it will help us to persevere. You know, in this morning's lesson, I had talked about getting back and spending time with God, and I had alluded to the point of sitting on the back porch or sitting in your yard in a chair and just taking time with God, either in prayer or just thinking about Him. Even if it's a matter of just opening up our Bible and reading some passages. That gets us through the difficulties of life. And it helps us to be able to persevere, to go out and take that step, even though we'd rather pull the covers up over our heads and go back to sleep. And when we put our trust in Him, we can know that our paths, our steps, are directed by Him. Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. You want a secure future? Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. Psalms 37 and verse 5. We have a safe haven as Christians, and yet so often we fail to realize it. Trust in Him at all times, Psalm 62, verse 8 says, O people, pour out your heart before God, for God is a refuge for us. How can we expect ourselves to endure if we trust no one, especially if we do not trust the Lord? David, in the 125th Psalm in verse 1, said, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. He is our source of strength. He is our source of stamina. Trust in the Lord forever. God, Lord God, is an everlasting rock. Isaiah 26 and verse 4. That is the key in developing our perseverance, is trust. Not trusting in our family or friends, co-workers, but trusting in the Lord. How exciting would life be without trials and troubles? It would be like driving 35 miles an hour down a desert road and seeing the same thing mile after mile after mile with no end. You know, when folks say, I need a little excitement in their lives, well, we seem to have it every day, don't we? There always seems to be something that comes down on us that gets our heart rate up and our blood pressure up and our worry in high gear. But I venture to say that we all get through most of them, especially when we have God in our corner. We need the tests, we need the trials, and we need the troubles. We need the severe. We also need the truth along with time. But the most important of all is our trust in God. Without Him, we cannot endure a lot of trials on our own. We want to offer at this time the invitation. We want to give anyone the opportunity to obey the gospel. Through faith and repentance and baptism, you can begin to place your trust in the Lord, and He will look after you. He's not going to guarantee you an easy life. As a matter of fact, your life might even get a little bit harder because you're going to go against the grain. You're going to go against a one-way street, but it's worth it in the end. If you persevere, you'll be able to make your destination and gain that crown of life. Maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you have abandoned some of the trust in God because the strain is too great, or you thought that He has abandoned you, but He has not. Because you are here means that He is still with you and carrying you. He wants you to be saved too, and He wants you trouble-free, at least within your own mind, even though you face the ordeal. If anyone has a need, we pray that you'll come. As together we stand and we sing.